This is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. After facing near extinction, the Canadian goose has risen back to healthy populations across Canada. These animals are the subject of an upcoming short film documentary by Winnipeg director and editor Karsten Wall. His upcoming short film, Modern Goose, is a 20-minute long documentary following the local population of geese in Winnipeg. The short film will be premiering this September at the Toronto International Film Festival. Wall has spent the last 3 years working on this film. While he had high hopes for this film, he never imagined it would be premiering at TIFF. In this interview, we go over his inspiration for the film and why he chose geese over any other urban animal. On top of that, we discuss his decisions to make the documentary without any narration to accompany the footage.
Okay, so to start off, would you mind introducing yourself?
My name's Karsten Wall. I am a filmmaker who's from Winnipeg. My film Modern Goose is my first short film. I hope to make many more.
How long have you been interested in filmmaking?
I've worked as an editor for over a decade. I focused primarily on documentaries, so I've been active in the documentary work, the documentary scene here in Winnipeg for a while, and after working at these jobs all day, I decided I think I could do it myself. This is my second project. My first project was a local TV series. It was more like informational, not so much a film.
So what is it about documentaries that has like led you to be working in the industry for 10 years?
I think I'm really good at editing them. I really enjoy documentaries. They've inspired me to get into film, and I kind of just have a special knack for story editing documentaries. And then through lots of mentorship and guidance in the film industry here, I was lucky to have my first job with a very established filmmaker here, Barry Lank. He showed me basically how to do it and gave me my start. I'm grateful that he gave me the opportunity, and now I'm doing my own thing.
How big is the documentary community within Winnipeg?
It's pretty small. Everyone knows each other pretty much. It does pretty good. It's a mixture. When I say documentary, I work maybe 50% documentary, 50% you might call it reality TV. It's some of it's in the in-between, basically factual TV, I guess, I think is the name. It's a small group of us here, but it's actually quite, it's for the past, basically since I started, it's been pretty busy.
With your 10 years in this community and in this industry, you are, as you said at the start, premiering your very own documentary at TIFF this upcoming September. Why the subject matter of goose or geese?
I really enjoy filming animals, and I wanted to make a nature film. I knew getting a budget for a nature film is pretty hard, especially if you're going to travel up north or somewhere remote where wild animals are living their life. So I decided to focus more on wild animals that live within my city, and geese naturally came up as an interesting subject. They live in the city only part-time, and then they'll migrate either up north or down south. Some geese stop off on their way up north, and some stay here all summer and leave and go south in the winter. And I wanted to explore that kind of how they kind of have one foot in the urban landscape and one foot in their natural habitat.
Why is it difficult to secure funding for nature documentaries specifically?
Well, I think it's a lot of money, like a lot of travel, and you need the fancy equipment. You need the big lens. Like my camera equipment is not up to snuff for a big Planet Earth style documentary. So it's just, I've worked as an editor on a few big budget nature films, and it is a huge operation. I would never be able to direct something that big. So I wanted to focus on something a little smaller.
With your documentary, what have you learned about geese that you didn't know before?
Yeah, I never really gave them too much thought before the film. I learned a lot of really interesting scientific facts about them during the development phase. Personally, getting to know them, I've come to understand that they're just as unique as humans. Like they all have their own personalities. You know, birds are kind of hard to read because they kind of seem like their faces are blank. Like they don't have that mammal expression that we can connect with dogs or whatever. But they do, if you get to know them and their body language, they have quite a thriving social life and family life, and they're all very unique and different in their own way.
So I brought it up a little earlier, but I'm gonna ask it again. So what specifically drew you to, geese? You mentioned that you've seen them all the time in your city. Was there like a moment where you just were like, I wonder what the geese are doing?
Yeah, I mean, when I started thinking about a film in the city with urban animals, I thought of pigeons first. I started scouting some locations that have a lot of pigeons, and I noticed that the geese and the pigeons kind of share some spaces together, like they kind of coexist a little bit. And that got me thinking. I was on a walk, just kind of trying to figure the idea out, and I came across a deceased goose in a parking lot of the casino, just kind of seeing the tragedy of the dead goose. Contrasted against the casino lights and all the ridiculousness there, kind of got the gears in my brain working, and kind of thought, okay, there's something else here. I didn't fully understand, but that kind of got the creative juices flowing a little bit to think of another angle to tell a urban animals story.
The Canadian documentary scene it's quite rich. Canada has a very rich history of documentaries. Were there any Canadian documentaries that kind of inspired you or give you a little bit of inspiration for Modern Goose?
The NFB itself, just its huge library, was an inspiration. And knowing that I got accepted, like they wanted to pursue my idea, was already like an inspiration, because I was now in a long list of filmmakers that have, what I think, have made some pretty amazing stuff over the years. And so there are a number of NFB documentaries that I really enjoy. Doesn't have much to do about geese, but Parts of Darkness is one of my favorite films, and I just like the kind of unconventional, kind of offbeat NFB style. Other than that, I was inspired also by, there's a few films that have come out recently that have been nature films without narration, and my idea was kind of brewing at the same time they came out. I looked at some of those films, like Nuisance Bear is a big one. Even though my film was practically finished by the time that came out, I think the filmmakers of Nuisance Bear were tapped into is kind of similar to what I was looking at for an unnarrated nature film. So that was a huge, in the final stages of my film, that was a big inspiration.
So how did you get involved with the NFB?
I just sent them a pitch, like just a PDF document that just happened to happen around COVID, and I think my project was a pretty safe thing to green light because it was just me and the geese. There was no other people on set. So that lent itself to my favor, I think.
So how long have you been working on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think development started in 2020 in the spring, and that was just me trying to figure out the story and NFB seeing if they could develop the story further. And then the next year they gave it the green light. And so the real production started in 2021, filming right up until we finished Christmas. Yeah, last Christmas.
Christmas 2022.
Yeah.
Before you like cut this down to 20 or so minutes, how many hours of footage do you have of geese?
It's such a large amount, I don't even know.
If you don't know the exact amount, let's go in terms of storage. Like how many gigs or terabytes of.
I think it's around, and I could be wrong, but I think it's around 30 terabyte. It's pretty ridiculous how much I shot. This is a kind of a beginner's mistake with my first short film. I definitely didn't need to shoot that much. I could use more of my own internal story direction. But you never know with documentaries. You're always, especially as an editor, you're always, more is better. But it was definitely overkill at some point. I can make an entire other film.
So that's just a lot of time filming geese, filming birds. And so you said you were doing
Yeah.
this all by yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. Except for the migration shots at the end. I got some help from an experienced wildlife filmer, Trevor Gill. I've worked with him here and there in the film industry, and that was the only time I wanted an extra camera. We only had the wetland area booked for 4 days, I think, so I wanted to make sure it was covered.
So other than storage, what were some of the difficulties with filming?
I mean, it's hard to find the story. When I pitched the idea, it all sounded great on paper, but it's like, well, now I got to do it. So geese aren't actors. I can't make them do what I want them to. So going out in the field, seeing what you get, seeing where that fits into the story, and kind of shifting the story here and there, and maybe relying on some elements you know are going to be there regardless. I got lucky because early in development, I filmed the scene, the bread by the river, the pile of bread scene. I filmed that early on, and I didn't know how it would fit into the story, but I wanted it as kind of a centerpiece. So then having one piece, it's kind of like a puzzle. You can work off of the edges. How I edit, I usually work off the middle. So if I find in any documentary, if I find a moment that I like, I'll work off of it either direction. That kind of helps you put the pieces in place. And then a lot of pickup shots after you got what you think is a storyline that'll work. You just need some pickup shots here and there of just landscape and weather and stuff like that.
What's the longest you ever just sat and filmed geese?
I didn't stay that long usually. Usually my schedule was kind of like early morning. I have about a window of 3 hours when the sun is good and the geese are pretty active in the morning. The weather conditions would kind of dictate what I did. If it was windy, I wouldn't do anything. Pretty windy in Winnipeg all the time. I didn't want to kill myself filming this. It was literally, I was enjoying every second of it. I'm pretty much a birder now. I just like being out with my camera with amongst the birds. I never really spent that much time out. It's usually chunks between four hours here, 4 hours there. A lot of driving around. The geese have their spots in the city, but they'll move around and sometimes they won't be where you want them to be. So you got to be like, okay, well, maybe I should look into a scene by the river or something. You got to go up and down the river, see where they are on the river. So a lot of travel.
So this is your first documentary, and it's also premiering at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah, my first short film. I did a nature documentary earlier, but this is my first short film.
So for your first short film, how did you feel about getting that information that your first short film is going to be premiering at TIFF?
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. I didn't. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to get into Hot Docs, and we didn't. So then, after we didn't get into Hot Docs, I was like kind of bummed out on it. And then I got the news that it got into TIFF. The NFB handles what festivals they think it would work for. So it kind of left it in their hands, and I was quite surprised to get the email. I thought maybe it was a scam.
So you spent all this time working on this documentary, and you didn't get to the festival you thought you would, and then you get into probably one of the most, I guess, premier Canadian just movie festivals and just premier movie festivals in the world. What are your plans for TIFF when it happens in a month?
I guess I will be going down there. I think they will have, I'm part of the last short film showcase, and I think I will be on stage with other filmmakers. I'm pretty excited to see. I'm a little nervous. I feel like I'm out of my depths here a little bit, but the other films look amazing. But I also really enjoy going to film festivals. It's a great way to get your brain working for your next idea. I'm really excited to see all the other films in the festival that I can see.
You just said that you feel like you're a little out of your depth. So how are you preparing for that?
I mean, I don't know. I'll just go with the flow, I guess. I don't know how to prepare. It's just this film was kind of an experiment. It kind of high hopes, but not this high of hopes for it. So I'm kind of just going with the flow. It was just to see if I could do it really. And I'm excited. Now I have to figure out what I'm doing next. So I can't just sit on this film. I gotta keep going. So that's my next challenge.
And a bit of a similar vein to, the start of your next big project and the start of TIFF. How were you feeling when you had finished editing your Modern Goose?
To be honest, I had mixed feelings about the end product. There were some last minute changes that it's never exactly what you want. I think I spent too much time editing it. It's a beginner's mistake to get too close to the film. It did take me a while. I did have to kind of not watch it and get it out of my mind for quite a while after. It was a fun, I really enjoyed filming, but the editing process was a little stressful for me because some things weren't turning out exactly how I wanted them to. So I did start to realize as I was showing it to friends and other people, everyone kind of interpreted the film differently. I was kind of feeling okay about that part where like maybe I personally see a lot of things that I want changed, but it's so open to interpretation, the film, that it's kind of nice that other people can see things from there that I can't see, which I've never done anything like that. Every documentary I've worked on has been very narration based and very straightforward. I stay away from abstract things, so it is nice to know that people are finding different things within the film that speak to them.
So with your background with working in documentaries that have a narration, why did you choose to not have one for Modern Goose?
I worked on a lot of nature documentaries with narration, and not that I don't like the style, but I kind of wanted to see if I could tell the story differently and not really guide the viewer along by the hand about what the animals are doing or what's happening. I don't want to say trend, but there's a few movies recently where they have taken that approach. So I'm not the first to try this out, but there's other way where people are rethinking the nature film genre a little bit. Everyone's doing it a little differently, and I wanted to try it myself too, like try something without narration. And plus, my last thing that I did narration on, I wrote the narration, and it's really difficult. It's like, in a lot of ways, it's difficult to make a film without narration, but in a lot of ways, it's kind of nice not to have to worry about writing. I don't know, writing's a hard thing to do.
So is that writing like I guess the biggest difference between narration and non-narration, like in terms of difficulty?
Personally, for me, I had the first thing I did was a local documentary about different sites in Manitoba, just very informational, just getting it to roll off the tongue of the narrator. And like, I'm probably better at it than most, but it still was very difficult to keep it fresh and to keep the flow of the narration going. It's not simply just speaking into a microphone. It's trying to get a rhythm and also making sure all the information is accurate or as ac accurate as possible. It's a lot of work. You really, really need to hire writers. They really earn their pay.
So, I want to rewind just a tiny bit. In terms of editing, how long did it take you to edit? Because you said it took you about a year and a half to do all the filming, and then at the end you had 30 terabytes of film.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to do that?
If I combined it all together, it might have been 6 months. I do have experience with huge footage shows, so I do have a very structured logging process that I do. I also have an editor's brain, so I can kind of remember shots. And it was just almost enough for me to get lost in the footage, but not quite enough. And there are a lot of, especially early on, there are a lot of cards that were kind of like I knew I couldn't use. It was kind of a storyline that I was following that wasn't going to really go anywhere. So kind of a process of elimination plus extensive logging, and then trying to put all that in the back of your mind and make a assembly cut that feels good.
So that's actually all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Oh no, that's great. Thanks. Thanks for the interview.